Emmanuel. Never let me go. Boy, isn't that the truth? Okay. So how are all you this morning? It's good to see you this morning. Good old Earl. Good to see you, Earl. So what's been? I'm getting ready to go to India. We're leaving tomorrow. So I'm excited. You know, I've been this week. How do you prepare to go to India? So I've been just kind of preaching all through the house. You know, preaching the paint off the walls. Just kind of God's been giving me some words and just trying to get ready and you know. Seeking the Lord, but I am really excited about this. So, I believe God's going to have a good report for when we get back. Didn't get my 30 miles in yet. Today's not over yet, right? So I still got today. So you know, how are you all doing? You doing your exercise and watching a little bit about what you're eating and monitoring that?
No.
You're not exercising? I tell you, you don't want that atrophy, right? That principle of atrophy to set in, because it will. If you don't do something to combat that, right, you got to do something. Because if you're going to fulfill God's purpose, we got to do what we can to take care of these bodies, don't we? Bodily exercise, what? Profits little, right? But godly exercise profits much. So we have to keep it up, me included, right? Well, no, I just told you I didn't. See, she's messing with me. I will. Today's not over. She tells me she loves me now. It ain't about love. All right. Okay. What did we talk about? What have we been talking about? Honor, right? Honor and respect. Where does honor come from? Comes from your heart, doesn't it? And so Jesus said, what did he say? He says, you worship me with your lips, but you honor me with your lips. In one passage, Isaiah 29:13, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. So in other words, you're saying one thing, but your heart is really not in it, and it's being hypocritical, isn't it? That's the number one reason young people don't come to church is because of hypocrisy. And so God is doing a work in the church. He wants young people in the church. And he wants where people are real and where people are really honoring him and walking in the fear of the Lord, young people are going to show up. The church is going to grow and flourish where people are being real. And you're not smiling and saying one thing and thinking negativity and judging them and criticizing them in your heart, in your thought life and in your mind, right? See, that's hypocrisy, isn't it? That right there is not going to fly when it comes. People feel that. They pick that up. Because remember, we're being reconciled back to what God originated and intended. And judgmentalism, criticism, and condemnation is not really what you're created for, right? You're created to love one another, right? You're created to think God thoughts. And so that's what we're getting back to, right? All right. Now, so honoring God comes from the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 1:7, right? And what's the word fear mean? Honor and respect. The honor and respect of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of knowing God. And so everything's going to come out of our relationship with God. And that's what God is doing in his church, is he's calling his people to know him. To know him in his finances, in their relationships, in their vocation. To know him in every area of their life. And that's what God is calling us to. And so if we're going to really walk in honor and be real, honor is not something you demand from people. In other words, honor and respect. I don't give you respect because you deserve it. See, that's what the world says. You have to earn my respect. That's not the way it is. You don't earn respect and honor. You give it because God commands it, right? 1 Peter 2:17, honor all people, right? You honor and respect people because that's really what's in you and coming out of you. Not that you deserved it or earned it. That's significant. Because the world says you got to earn it, right? So, you don't demand honor and respect. You attract it. You attract it. So, we're going to look at that. And how did we say? John preached last week. He did a great job, didn't he? And he's in Mexico right now and he's got some teens out there. And we're believing that some changed lives are going to come back here. And that's exciting. But the week before I preached, and the last, what I left you with was Proverbs 22:4, and it says, let's go there real quick, and I want you all to stand. Proverbs 22, verse 4, this is going to be our opening scripture today. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Now, where does honor come from? The heart. What attracts it? Humility. That's prayer. Humility is you depending on God. And that's where God wants you. He wants you depending on Him. And so we're going to talk about prayer today and how to attract this honor, riches, and life. This life, that the word life there, is the life that God created you for. And so it's going to come through humility and the fear of the Lord and the honor and respect of the Lord. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for everyone here this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are doing a work in the hearts of your people. We thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in our hearts. Lord, we don't want to be a people that say one thing with our mouths and our hearts be far from you. Father, we want to be a people of what we say and our hearts be connected to you, Lord. Lord, we love you and we give you praise today. We need your help in this area, Lord. We need your help with hypocrisy and judgmentalism and criticism, Father. We ask by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would move that out of our hearts and out of our lives and by your word today, Lord. And let none of us remain the same, but we would all be different people because we've been in your presence. You said that you would show us the path of life in your presence. Continue to reveal the path of life to each of us. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, amen and amen. You know, we're not a church where you just come hear a sermon. You know? I don't ever want to be a church where you just come hear sermons. You know, people get this idea, well, I got to go hear a sermon. It's not just going and hearing a sermon, is it? Folks, you know what? Where God is, you're going to hear a word from Him, where His presence is, right? Not just a sermon. And so that's the idea. Our vision here is to build a people who are established in God's Word. So when we show up together, we want to hear a word from God. We should come expecting to hear a word from God, right? Because that's really what it's all about. Not just another sermon. Well, I got to go hear another sermon. Well, you know, got to go, you know, to another service. No, I'm ready to hear a word from God, right? Because when we get a word from God, one word from God can change the whole direction in life. One word from God can change our entire life. Are you with me today? The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is alive. So when you are in a place where the word of God is alive, it brings life. It brings life to you. You see, it separates the light from the dark, the wheat from the tares, the truth from a lie. It separates the things that are of God and the things that are not of God in your life. It separates them. That's why we need to hear a word from God. Are you with me today? And that's why we want to be a place where the word of God is going forth and changing lives. Because you can't continue to come to a place and hear God's word and true change not take place. We want to be a community that is dependent on God and receiving his word and it testifying of the grace of God and the power of God. Are you with me today? That's what we want to be. And that's what the church is. That's just what the church is. We're a place, a community of people that testify of the grace of God and the power of God. And that's what God is doing in his church. Are you with me? All right. We're talking about prayer today. Go with me to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. In verse 8, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Folks, let me tell you something. People go to church every Sunday, and they aren't praying. They aren't really praying and talking to God, really depending on him. God wants you to have a prayer life, and he wants you to ask him. People go, they want to hear a sermon. God wants you to hear his word, but he also wants you dependent on him. He wants you to ask him. A lot of people go through life and don't really go to God and ask him about the matter. We need to ask him about the littlest things, right? We need to talk to him. We need to ask him. And that's what we're going to, everybody say ask. We're talking about asking God today. Now watch this. In verse 32 of the same chapter, it says, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You see, God knows everything you need. But you know what? He wants you to ask. He wants you to ask. Because he wants you dependent on him. Am I making sense? All right. Go with me to Luke chapter 11. We're going to lay foundation here. Luke chapter 11. We're going to look at verse 11 through 13. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who what? Ask him. You see, he wants us to ask him. Folks, we have to be reminded of this. We have to grow in this area. We're all growing. He wants you to ask him about the littlest things. Now, go with me. Write this down, Matthew 7, if you've got a pen, write this down, Matthew 7, verse 7 through 11, and I'm going to ask you, you can look at that later for the sake of time. But now we're going to go to John chapter 15, and we're going to look at verse 7. John 15, and we're going to look at verse 7. You know, there is protocol and there are ways to pray. There's prayers of supplication, prayers of intercession, there's prayers of thankfulness, there's prayer Folks, listen. There is a way to pray, and we have to grow in our understanding of how to pray. Now look what he says, John 15:7. If is what? Condition. The word if is in the Bible 332 times. If is a condition. That's a big little word. That is a major big little word. If you abide in me, and my what? Words abide in where? You. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Now, Jesus is saying if is a condition, right? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, what you ask, it will be done. Folks, listen to me. We have to grow in our understanding of God's word and getting God's word in us. You see that? We have to get it in us. If my word in you, if you ask according to my word. Folks, we got to pray according to his word. When we pray, it should line up with his word. Am I making sense? In Jeremiah 1:12, he says, I'm ready to perform my word. God is ready to perform his word. When we pray, we should remind God of his word. Whenever you come up here and I lay hands on you and anoint you, you'll hear me say, Hebrews 4:16. You said, God, that we could come to your throne boldly and find grace and help in the time of need. There is a need here, and I'm coming to you on the behalf of such and such. You see, I'm praying the word of God. You see that? I'm actually speaking God's word, and I'm praying because it lines up with what he's asked us to do. And that's what God is calling us to do. That's true prayer. That's asking. And we're going to him according to his word. Or Philippians 4:19 says what? That he shall supply all our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. See? I remind him, you said you would supply all my needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus, right? You speak his word over your life. Remind him of his word. Folks, listen. It is so important that we get this point right here. Because your understanding and knowledge of God's word is going to limit you in your prayer life. And the more you understand and grow in that, your prayer life is going to change. Your prayer life is going to change. Because every problem you have, you want to find God's promise for the answer. Because every problem you have, there is an answer in God's word for your problem. Are you with me this morning? And when you get that and stand on it, folks, you're going to see power in your life. You're going to see a manifestation of God's power in your life. When you stand on his promise. But too many times, we just pray what we want to pray, and we're not. Or we just go to God and we just say a prayer, say a few words, and nothing ever happens. But if we will get God's promise on it, you know what? It's kind of like this. When I was in school up in Columbus, my school partner is here today, Bill Sims. We roomed together when we were at the seminary up in Columbus a couple years ago. And I remember there was a time that I got a room, and they said, well, you know, we're full. We don't have a room for you. We don't have a room. And I thought, well, I got my wallet. I said, well, I got a confirmation number here. And I told him, I said, well, look here, I got a confirmation. Oh. They said, well, we're all full. We don't have any more rooms. Well, now, Mr. Gillenwater, we just don't have a place. Well, I have a confirmation number here. Well, what is it? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, well, we have a room. We have a room. You're going to be in such and such and such and such. You see, that confirmation number is like the promise of God. Are you with me? Everything and everybody will be telling you one thing, but if you got the promise on it, you see what I mean? God's going to make a way for you. Did you get that? That's significant and that's important because that's what God wants. If the word abides in you, then you're going to ask and it's going to be done. See, there's protocol. There's a way that God's called us to pray and to ask and keep believing. Are we making sense? All right, go with me to 1 John 5:14. So God's word is his will, right? This is his word, and this is his will for us, right? This is his written will to you and me. Okay. Verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his what? His will. He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. You see, folks, when you start praying according to his will and trusting him and praying according to his word, you know. You go to God and you pray according to his word and according to his will, and you leave it there. You don't have to keep praying about it and going over and over and saying, you know, you hear what I'm saying? You know. Well, you know, I got people in my family saying, well, what are you going to a Hindu nation for? What are you going over to India for? What do you think you're going to do? How do you know you're supposed to go there? I know. Right? When you know, you know. And you go to him with it and that's it, right? You don't have to have everybody else's, you know. And that's what he's saying here. When you know, you know, you know. You know? Huh. That's the way it is. And it gives you confidence. It gives you confidence. When you know, you can do, because you're not listening to all the other voices. You know his. Right? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Right? He's with you. When you have this prayer life and this relationship with God, you know. And it builds confidence in you in what you believe. It builds confidence. Now, because you're asking according to his will, there's security, there's stability in that. Stability in that. Now, go with me to Mark 11. Mark chapter 11. And we're going to look at verse 24. Excuse me. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Did you hear that? Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. What's the protocol here now? Whenever if you just ask, you get what you ask for? You have to believe, right? You have to believe that you receive. And when you believe you receive, folks, see, that's significant. You have to believe it. If you don't believe it, right, what's going on then? You're doubting. How many times do you go to God and pray and ask God and you really don't believe? And then you're wondering why things aren't happening. It's repetition. There's really no faith and no belief in what you're doing and saying and asking God, petitioning God for. See, you got to be mindful of what you believe. And you have to know what you believe. Because what you believe is being challenged everywhere you look. Everywhere you go, what you believe is being challenged. Can we cut down a little bit on the activity going in and out? Just a little bit. Just try to. What you believe is being challenged everywhere you go. That's why you got to know what you believe. David said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed. In other words, when you stop believing, you lose heart. You stop believing in your spouse, you're going to lose heart towards that spouse. If you stop believing in your boss, you're going to lose heart towards that job and that position. You stop believing in what you're doing as a job in your position, you're going to start losing heart in doing what you're doing. You stop believing in the leadership of the church or leadership of wherever you are, you're going to lose heart in what's going on there. It's what you believe. You see, what you believe is affecting everything. And your belief is being challenged everywhere, all the time. So you got to know what you believe. Are you with me this morning? Because it's what you believe and receive, that's what's going to take place. And you got to know what you believe. You got to watch the people you hang around with, the company you keep. You hear this? You got to watch the company you keep. David said in Psalms chapter 1, he said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seats with the scornful. He talks about who you walk with, who you stand with, and who you sit with. Now, what's important here? What's important is who you're sitting with. Because who you're sitting with is who you're conversing with and who you're exchanging information with. You got to watch who you sit with. You got to watch. You know why? Because they're going to affect what you believe. They're going to affect what you believe, whether you like it or not. You have to raise your level of consciousness about who you're sitting with. Am I making sense? Because what they're saying and putting into your life is going to affect what you believe. And it's up to you to be aware, because you will lose heart in what you believe. Jesus said this. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What? What's believe in God and believe also in me? What's the cure and antidote to the troubled heart? What you believe. Out of your heart comes the issues of your life. What you believe is what you better be watching and monitoring. What you believe. Am I making sense? And so the company you keep is major. Because it's going to affect your prayer life, whether you like it or not. It will affect your prayer life, who you're hanging around, and who's speaking into your life. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, bad company corrupts good habits. So many times we think we can just go anywhere and say and hang around anybody and it not affect us. But he says, bad company corrupts your good habits. Your good habits aren't affecting his corruption. Their corruption. Am I making sense? Bad habits corrupt good habits, right? So it will get on you. I remember I was at a graduation party this summer, and I went to a lot of them, but I went to a couple that some folks even I went to high school with, and several of them were there, and you know, they were calling me Rev, and all, hey, Reverend Gillenwater. You know, they said, well, Rev, we're going to go to Hooters. We want you to go. Boobs, booze, and barbecue. I said, what would I look like going into Hooters? I said, I don't have no desire to go to Hooters. Really? I mean it. And none of you all got any reason for being there either. Huh? That's right. Well, that's a good thing. It will get on you. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's like going into a restaurant where you have a smoking section and a non-smoking section. But you're all in there, and you're all breathing the same air, right? It's going to get in you, right? That's like going to a swimming pool, and they got a pee section and a no pee section. You're all in the same water, right? It's going to get on you. Bad company corrupts good habits. You see, it will affect what you believe. It will affect what you believe. And it will get on you. David said, I love the habitation of the house of the Lord. I love the habitation of the house of the Lord. Folks, we should love, in Psalm 26:8, he says, I love it. You should love coming here. You should love the people here. Folks, you should love just being a part of what's going on here. Because when you love it, you know what? You come here, stuff comes off. Some of you feel better already just because you showed up today. That's because God's glory is here. He said, I love the habitation of the Lord and the dwelling of his glory, where his glory is. You see, the glory of God is in his church and where his people show up and in his house. Are you with me? He said, I love that. We should have a love for God's house. But now watch this. He said, I hate, in Psalms 101, verse 3, he said, I hate the work of those who fall away. He said, I hate the work of those who fall away. Not the people, the work of those who fall away. What's the work of those who fall away? Bitterness, resentment, offense, family falling apart, gossip. He said, I hate the work of those who fall away. They get hurt in church and they fall away. Folks, we got to get beyond that. We got to grow and stay in our love for God and his church and his people and stay there, right? And now listen. Somewhere where his people are, that's where you're going to flourish. That's where you will flourish. Now listen. He said, I hate that. Why? Because I've seen people fall away and their families fall apart. Finances go crazy, divorce, addictions come back. When you fall away, that's why David said, I hate the work of those who fall away. And then he said, it will not cling to me. He says, it's not going to cling to me. I'm not going to be a part of listening to somebody who's fallen away. Because listen, people, you'll get out with someone that's fallen, and they'll say, the church is just using you. Well, yeah. Right? God wants to use you, right? They'll come in your office, I just want God to use me. We start to, and then, well, they're using me. Huh? God does want to use you. It's up to you to connect and find out where it's at and what's going on. Am I making sense today? Now think about this. So, he said, I hate the work of those who fall away. It will not cling to me. Some stuff will cling to you. Right? When you get around it, it will cling to you. I remember years ago, I was running at night. And out getting a run. It was real hot out there. And I was running. And it got me a good 5 mile run in. I was running fast for a race and getting worked up. Well, I came in and there wasn't anybody home, and I went and got me a towel and was drying my head off, and then I went into the kitchen to take my shoes off. Well, I sat down in the kitchen and I reached down to take my shoe off, and I always put my hand on the bottom and pull my shoe off. There was some dog up on all over my shoe. And as soon as I reached down, it's like the whole room, you could smell it. It was warm, you know. I know this is what you came to church for. But then I looked around. I'm saying, I'm about gag. I'm dry here. I had to go out and I get the hose and wash it off. And then I washed my hands. But then I went back where I went to get the towel, and that stuff was everywhere. So we had to call carpet cleaners and all this big army to come in and clean the carpet and all this mess because of what stuck to me. You know, that's the way it is. When stuff clings to you, sometimes you got to get an army and everything else to help you get it cleaned up. Does that make sense? Do you smell what I'm stepping in? I like that saying. Nathan taught me that. He's not here today. Barb Bateman's son. But listen, folks. It will get on you. You better be aware, because you know what? It's going to affect what you believe. It will affect what you believe. And you better know what you believe. Because what you believe, you're going to receive. You see that? What you believe, you're going to receive. That's why Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:12, he said this. He said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him until that day. I know what I have believed, and I'm persuaded. Are you persuaded? My environment's not persuading me. Other folks aren't persuading me. How I feel is not persuading me. I know in whom I am believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. That's how I can go into another nation with the gospel. You see that? Because I know in whom I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded that he's going to use this gospel, right? It's not my gospel, it's his gospel. I'm persuaded. It's over with, right? That's the way we have to see it. And that's the way we have to believe. And when you believe that way, folks, you're going to start seeing things change in your life. You're going to have to believe that you receive. When you begin to think of alternatives, your belief is being attacked. Thinking of an alternative in your marriage, an alternative anywhere, your belief is being attacked. You hear what I'm saying? Am I making sense today? Folks, listen to me. You got to know what you believe. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. 1 John 5:4. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the one who's going to be an overcomer, the one who believes. So we have to believe and receive, and then God's going to show up in our life. In our prayer life. Am I making sense this morning? I know I'm hammering this. Believe. Because folks, listen. If you lose heart, that's why David said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed. Because that principle right there goes into every area of your life. You will lose heart if you stop believing. That is so important. Now, go with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And we are going to close. James 4, are you with me? Verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have Because you do not ask. There's that word ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Selfishness. That's one of the biggest plagues in the church today is selfishness. Selfishness. Verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Now think about this. He says in the Amplified Bible, chapter 4, verse 3, he says, you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. You see, we stop asking according to his will, and we get it in because we're ignorant of it, and we're always asking for things that are selfish. You see that? When you start praying for others and really pursuing, seeking God, you start, selfishness starts to dissipate, doesn't it? Now, Amplified Bible, listen. James 4, he says, you are like unfaithful wives having illicit love affairs with the world and breaking your marriage vow to God. Do you not know that being the world's friend is being God's enemy? So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world takes his stand as an enemy of God. Now think about that. He says, you are like unfaithful wives having illicit love affairs with the world. And you've broke your vow to God. Folks, listen. Whenever you accepted Jesus into your heart and the Holy Spirit came in, a marriage took place. And he is in there and he longs for a relationship. He longs for a relationship with you. And he's not going to let you get way out there and just and not keep pursuing you because he's jealous. You see that? He's jealous, and he's not going to let you continue on in a lifestyle that you're looking and all you want. He'll come visit you in a prison and whisper in your ear and remind you of what you did and how you connected. See, that's a vow to God. You see that? If you'll hang in there and you stay in that relationship with him and work it and get God's word on it and begin to do it, folks, healing and wholeness takes place. But when you give up and you want to go do your own thing, you're just putting off what God has called you to. Am I making sense? Huh? If you'll hang in your marriage, if you're the one who's hanging in there, don't quit looking at everybody else, but if you're hanging in there, your healing and wholeness is going to take place. You hear what I'm saying? Your healing and wholeness will take place. Because in marriage, development takes place. I got people coming into my office saying, I just don't feel like I love them anymore. I just don't feel it anymore. It's not about what you feel. It's not about how you feel. You don't feel you love. Love is not a feeling. Love is an action. Right? Well, I just don't feel it. It just isn't there. Well, work on it. Right? Get back in relationship with it. If they don't want to, hey, that's them. Right? You do your part, and you're going to see healing and wholeness come in your life. You continue in it. That's just like in church. You continue in this relationship with God, regardless of what everything and everybody else is doing. You, because look, what you believe, it's not what your parents taught you. It's not what your grandparents taught you. It's not what your teachers taught you. It's what God is teaching you through revelation. It's not experience, tradition. It's revelation. And when you have revelation on what God has said to you, no matter what, you're going to be all right because you got God's word on it and it's being revealed to you, right? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them who love Him, but God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. And He'll reveal that to you in your prayer life and seeking God and staying connected to the house of God and the family of God. Revelation takes place. I know I'm over time. Is this working? Don't we need this? This is what we need. Folks, when you believe that you receive, you're going to start seeing things change in your life. But you got to believe it. You got to believe it and hold God to it. Hold Him to it. All right, I got more to share, but I'm going to hold off till when I come back from India. So I'll probably have a little bit more then, too. So we're going to close. Jess, come on up.